All right. Hello and welcome everyone to our second masterclass for the Dream Creator Mastermind. I'm just getting everything set up. I'm here in Ubud in Bali, as you may know. So I'm in a different environment and I'm just wanting everything to look good. If you are here with me live, I can see several of you logging on. Can you say hello to me in the chat box? Let me know that you can hear me and see me okay. I just want to make sure that my audio and visual are looking okay. I'm not 100% sure about my internet connection here. So just wanting I love Jen's like, your lighting looks good. Everyone knows lighting is my biggest concern. So that looks good to me as well. Beautiful. All righty, let's have a look here. All right, loves, it's really nice to see so many of you logging on live. Thank you for being here with me today for this class. I'm really excited to dive into today's class. You know, over the past couple of weeks, watching you all in the Facebook group and watching what you have been sharing has been so moving for me and so powerful for me to really get insight into what you're working through and what came up for you from Masterclass 1. It sounds like already there's been a lot of ahas and realizations and insights and shifts happening. And I just want to say thank you for coming in to share all of that with me because it gives me a really good insight into where we are all at. So what we're going to be diving into today, today's class is about mindset, and today's class is going to be a really, really big one. I was actually reviewing my notes for the class and I was thinking, you know, I've crammed a lot into today's class. So this might be a class that you continue to revisit over and over and over. This may not be something that you only do once. I think the principles of this class will be things that you'll continue to revisit because you're going to bump up against mindset stuff every, you know, at every turn of this journey. And I'm going to tell you why. Let's dive on into talking about why the topic for today is so, so important, and particularly why I've put it right at the start of our journey, because that's been very deliberate. All right, Shirley here. Hello. Oh, I've got Shirley coming through. Let me just see if I can mute you, my love. Saying, I'm a total nerd on here, not really sure how to use Zoom. I may drop off midway as I've ducked out of the office to attend the session. Well, thank you for being here, even though you might need to only might only be able to stay halfway. That's totally fine. I appreciate you making the effort. All right, let me just bring up all my stuff for Masterclass 2. I've got up on my screen here. If at any point anything goes wrong with my internet connection or my audio, please let me know just so that I'm aware that everything's looking okay for you and I'm recording, so we're good. All right, my loves. So today's class, the purpose of today's class is to help you create a mindset that will support and empower you to achieve your dreams. Because I'm sure you're already recognizing as you've begun tapping into your vision and finding clarity in our previous class that there's things that you're bumping up against. And these are things in your mindset, in your self-talk, in your belief systems, in your perception of yourself, in your identity, you know, how you see yourself, who you think you are, that may be limiting you and blocking you and holding you back from actually moving forward with what you want. So it's all well and good to land on our dreams and desires, to find clarity and to say, yeah, this is what I want. But today's class is about ensuring we've got your mindset and your belief systems aligned and that they're going to support you to have what you want rather than holding you back. Because it's the biggest thing that happens. And I think this is what probably why most of you are here is because maybe to some extent you've known what you've wanted for a while, but there's things going on within you that are blocking you. So there's going to need to be a shift in your mindset and even in your energy. So in the energy that you radiate, who you're being, how you're feeling, for you to create a new reality for yourself. Because the current set of the set of belief systems, the ways of thinking, all the self-talk that you have up until this point has brought you to where you are now. So we don't want to judge any of this as being bad or wrong, but the reason you are where you are now is because you have a certain set of belief systems and mindset, self-talk, ways of thinking, ways of seeing the world that have guided your choices, your decisions, your actions, and have led you to this point now and have created the reality you have around you now. But if we want to create a different reality, if we want to help you access a different version of yourself, manifest something different, step into new possibilities, we're going to need to create some change within you. We're going to need a different mindset, different belief systems, different self-talk, a different way of viewing yourself to create a different reality around you. So there has to be a change within you to help you create something different around you. And in order to achieve your dreams, and I think many of you can already see this, you're going to have to let go of one version of yourself in order to become another, in order to create yourself in a new and a different way. So this mindset piece is so important. And it's interesting for me, actually. Oh, God, don't lean on the table, Connie, because it wobbles. It's interesting for me, actually, because as I was reviewing the notes, I was just having this insight in myself as well around how for a lot of this year, there's been changes that I've been wanting to create. And I can see that the piece that I've been avoiding working on is the mindset piece. Because we can take all the action in the world, we can have the vision boards, all of it, but if there are things in your mindset that are not aligned, you're constantly going to be sabotaging yourself, you know, because you might try to take steps that take you outside of what you believe is possible for you, who you think you are, what you think you're capable of. And if you go to take those steps and in your own mind, you're saying to yourself, this isn't possible, I can't do this, I'm not good enough for that, this is never going to work out for me. Your mind's going to win every time, and it's going to pull you back into that set identity that you have about yourself. So let's talk about a few different ways that I like to, you know, the way that I'm going to support you to work with mindset in this class. And one of the key ways that I work with it with in my courses and with my clients is through mindfulness. So that means becoming aware first of what's going on in the mind, because until we're aware of it, we can't change it. And again, this was an interesting insight I was having this morning, because I've been thinking a lot about where I want to go, but I wasn't stopping to ask myself, where's my mindset at around that at the moment? Like, let me actually like shine a little spotlight into my mind and have a little look in there around what is my mindset around this change I want to create. And I think that's what I take you through. And let me just have a look in the first exercise of the workbook. Actually, let's talk about, you know, what I get you to do here is to look at a key inner story that's holding you back. And a little further on, I get you to do this specifically around something you currently desire. So this is this awareness piece where we want to start. Because like I said, until we're aware of something, we can't change it. And the issue we have most of the time is we have deeply programmed belief systems that we've picked up throughout our lives that are really ingrained. And they're hovering in that subconscious part of our mind below the surface, ruling who we're being and how we're acting and how we're showing up. But we don't even realize it. And a lot of us, we just sort of live on autopilot. We just, you know, it's even something to think about. Have you ever stopped to question why you do what you do? Why you make the choices that you make? Why you are in certain places? What inner stories are you telling yourself? What belief systems do you hold that have brought you to this point? So we want to become aware of that. And, you know, I ask you to start thinking here is what is one inner story? And when I say an inner story, I want you to think about that sort of self-talk, that those things you tell yourself. Because anything we tell ourselves, we will believe. So we really want to actually look at what am I typically telling myself on a daily basis, particularly when it comes to what I want. What is a key inner story that's holding you back? You know, and something I was looking at this morning in myself, I was just talking to my boyfriend about it this morning, actually. I was like, I still hold a belief that this next level that I want to create isn't possible for me. That, you know, it sounds really good. I can see that other people have it. You know, I can imagine how it would be possible, but there's still something in me that doesn't really believe I can actually do it and I can actually pull it off. And it's so important that we look at that because it's going to be impossible for me to achieve it if I've got that inner story going on. And I ask you here as well, and this is a really important piece, I ask you here to look at how is this story serving you? and keeping you safe, and why are you holding on to it? Because every pattern of behavior, every belief system, everything is serving us in some way. Now, it may not make logical sense. We may look at it and think, how could that limiting belief possibly be serving me? But a lot of the time it keeps us safe. Because let's look at my example. If I have a belief, if I have a desire about what I want, but I have this fundamental belief that it's actually not possible for me, that will allow me to never really fully show up. Right? It almost becomes my reason and justification as to why I don't have to really show up, because I'm like, well, why would I show up? It's not really possible anyway. So it allows me to justify playing small and keeping myself safe. So it's serving me. It's keeping me inside my comfort zone. Because if I had all my belief systems fully aligned with what I wanted, if I 100% backed myself, believed in myself, was telling myself I could do this, I'd be out there taking some pretty different actions. I'd be just out there making what I wanted happen. So it's really important to get honest around how some of the things you're telling yourself might actually be serving you by keeping you safe in some way. I ask you then to look at possibly disproving this story. And that might, you might think, oh, how would I do that? That, you know, that doesn't make sense because I actually really believe this story. But one of the key ways to break a belief is to begin to challenge it. Because the problem is that part of, you know, our self-talk tells us something and we just believe it. We actually don't challenge it. And we need to get into a practice of, if we find a belief or a story that doesn't serve us, actually really challenging it and asking, is that true? Can I be 100% certain that that is the truth? That this vision is not possible for me? That I'm not good enough? That I can't do it? Can I be 100% without a shadow of a doubt certain that that belief system is true? And you only need a little bit of evidence in the opposite direction to begin to dismantle that belief. To be like, you know what? No, because I've seen a lot of other people do this and there's nothing really that different from me to them. And I know that if I just take the steps that lead to this result, that of course I can achieve it. It's just that I'm not taking those actions yet. That's why I haven't achieved it. It actually means nothing about me and my abilities. And you know what? If I could just really trust myself and trust my heart and trust my inner guidance, maybe this would be possible for me. I mean, I've never even tried. How do I even know? And it's these little ways we begin to just dismantle that belief that begins to break it down. And then we create the space to potentially create a new belief for ourselves and a new inner story that we're going to tell ourselves that will allow ourselves to move forward. So for example, what would be a new, I'm just coming back to my notes, sorry. What would be a new inner story that you could create around this situation? What would you like to be telling yourself that would allow you to have what you want? Look, and it might be something as simple as, it's safe for me to be fully expressed as who I am. It's safe for me to share my gifts with the world. Like, these are just things you can tell yourself that feel aligned and supportive. Or of course this is possible for me. Look at all the other people who have done this. All I need is the steps. And I just need to, you know, start talking to myself in a different way. And maybe I need to get a mentor. And of course this will be possible for me. That, you know, and even an inner story of like, do you know what? You deserve this. Of course you're worthy of this. You are gifted and wise and talented, and you deserve to have your work reach more people. Like, you actually can consciously write and decide upon a new way of speaking to yourself and believing things you want to believe about this particular situation or desire that will allow you to move forward. And when it comes to building a new belief, you know, this is a really interesting thing. A lot of people say, yeah, but I don't believe it, Connie. Like, I feel like I'm just saying it and I don't actually believe it. It feels fake. I feel like I'm faking it till I make it. I feel like I'm just saying something that I actually don't believe to be true. Well, understand, if you have a story that you've been telling yourself about yourself for 30 years, and then you try to start telling yourself a new story for 3 hours, you know, which one are you going to believe more? You're going to believe the one that you've been telling yourself long enough, because you've got all this evidence to prove it to yourself now, and because it's just so familiar. So the new story you want to tell yourself, it just because you don't believe it yet, it doesn't mean that it's not true. It's just not as a familiar way of thinking because it's new. And so we need to practice these new ways of thinking over and over and over. That repetition builds that familiarity, and then eventually we start to believe it. And what is this quote? I know this quote by Abraham Hicks. I think they say, a belief is just a thought that you've kept thinking long enough until you believe it. It's something like that. A belief is just a thought you keep thinking. I think that's what they say. And that's truly all it is. You think it long enough that you believe it, and whatever you believe to be true, you will see. So you will actually filter the world, because there's all this data coming at you constantly. You will filter the world to find pieces of evidence that match what you believe to be true. And so the problem is we've got all this evidence that we have created around us to be like, see, this is the truth about me. Look, I've got all this evidence to prove it. And it's like, no, it's just that that's what you've been focusing on and looking for to prove that belief to yourself. And when you start to tell yourself something different, you're going to start to look at the world differently. You're going to start to suddenly see pieces of information and evidence that are proving this new way of thinking to you. You'll start to get some validation or some feedback or some opportunities opening up. Different things will appear in your reality now to match what you're thinking. So that's sort of, it's a bit of like a, you know, the first few weeks of trying to change our thinking is pretty difficult. It has quite a bit of effort to it. We've got to be really conscious about it. And we've really got to get to this point of using mindfulness where, okay, what are these key stories that I know typically run that are not supporting me? Okay, when I notice them, there's this process that I use that I teach in my course, Slow Down and Tune In, and it's called Stop, Witness, Choose Again. It's a three-step process kind of around mindfulness. So if you notice that old story playing, the first thing you want to do is stop. And even just say out loud, stop, you know what, like I'm not going to give airtime to this story anymore. Stop, interrupt the pattern of the thinking. In that moment, then witness it. Just bring some awareness. Okay, what's going on in my mind at the moment? What am I telling myself? What is this story? What's going on here? And then the third step, choose again. In that moment, can you consciously choose a different way of thinking? Can you consciously choose to bring in, you know, that voice of your heart, of your loving inner wisdom that can say something much more supportive to you in that moment that will align you with what you want? So stop, witness, choose again is a process that I use a lot that allows me to pivot out of an unsupportive way of thinking, to break that pattern of that thinking, and then begin to consciously reprogram my mind. So rather than just thinking in an unconscious way where everything's firing off automatically, I then get back in charge now of my thinking. I get back in charge of my mindset, and I consciously choose the thoughts that I want to think that will allow me to have what I want. All right. How is this landing for you, loves? Let me know at the moment how this is sounding, feeling. Let me know what's coming up for you. Give me any thoughts, feels as I'm sharing this. All right. Let me have a look at my notes again. So your mind, beautiful. Eleanor's saying, I love it. Tell us more. I'm going to tell you a lot more. There's a lot more coming. I mean, this is such, I really should probably break this whole class over two classes. It's such big work, but you know, we're going to talk about this continuously through the whole mastermind. But you know, I want you to see your mind is an incredible tool. And I think I said in the previous class, we want the mind to be the servant to the heart. So rather than the mind just being this thing that runs and rules us and makes us crazy, we want to get to a point where we're connected to the heart, living from the heart, and then we use the mind. We use tools like strategic thinking and planning and visioning and building beliefs to actually support the heart to have what it wants, rather than the mind constantly crushing the heart's desires. So we want to, you know, we don't want to ever judge ourselves or be hard on ourselves when our mind isn't being supportive. It's really important when you get to that part of the stop and the witness part that we refrain from any judgment. We don't want to judge what's there. And I'll tell you why in a minute. You know, as we've said, all of these belief systems and patterns of thinking that you have set up served you at some time. Maybe they served a younger version of yourself. You set up that belief system, that way of thinking at a particular time in your life when you needed it. It did serve you at that point. But maybe it's no longer serving you. And that's where we say, okay, cool. You know, thank you to this belief system. You've brought me this far. You've helped me create all of this in my life, but I want to go somewhere different now. And so I need a different way of thinking to take me there. So your mind is a beautiful tool, and we don't want to ever judge ourselves or be really hard on ourselves and criticize ourselves for what's going on in there. But we just want to feel empowered when it comes to our mindset. Yeah. You know, something that when we're working on belief as well, and I know self-belief is a massive part of this work, and it's so necessary that we have self-belief. But one thing that I like to work with around self-belief is, you know, anytime you're going to try to do something or want to do something you've never done before. And most of you, I'm guessing, are sort of sitting here looking at things you want to create and you've never done them before. You don't as yet have evidence that you can draw on where you can prove to yourself and really solidly believe, I can do this because I've done this before. That's usually what the mind does. So when you want to do something, the mind tries to determine, is this possible? And so it will go through all the files of your memories and try to find information and evidence to kind of calculate in itself, is this possible? Is this a risk or is this a safe step to take based on my past experience? And if you have no past experience to prove to you or show to you that it's safe for you to go out and be a brand new version of yourself or run your own business or make your own money, whatever it is, you're immediately going to think it's not possible. The mind will come to the conclusion, no, I don't have any evidence to prove that to me. It's not possible. So what's going to really need to come in here is trust. And trust has come up as a theme for all of you. I've seen it coming through for all of you. Because you're going to be facing the unknown. It's got to be okay that at the moment there's nothing for you to really draw on, perhaps to prove to you that it is possible. And this is where trust is everything. Trusting in what you feel, trusting in what you know, trusting in the visions that you hold in your mind, rather than any proof or evidence you have outside of you. Because that's what we usually do. We look to things outside of us and say, is this possible for me? Let me see if I can find some, you know, let me look to my bank balance. Let me look to what other people are doing. Let me look at my reflection in the mirror and you know, does this, do I have evidence to prove to me this is possible? We've got to let go of all of that because you may not have any evidence to prove that to yourself at the moment, but you have a feeling and a knowing and a vision, and you're going to have to step into the unknown and completely trust and believe in what's going on inside of you. So find that from within rather than outside of yourself. But one thing I think is useful to do, I've done this a lot in myself, is can you think of any time in your life where you have done something that you previously thought you couldn't do? And this is a really good way to help find that sense of certainty in yourself where, you know what, I remember there was another time in my life where I was facing complete unknown and I had no idea if I could pull this off and no idea if I could do this. But you know what? I did do it. So can you think, and maybe if you guys are here live, let me know, can you think of a particular time, find any example you can think of, where you were once in a situation where there was something you wanted to do, create, achieve, and you in that moment didn't think it was possible, didn't know whether you could get through it or do it, and you did. Shirley's saying, yeah, absolutely, and I did it. And feel that. I feel that certainty in your words, Shirley. Like, feel that certainty of like, yeah, I faced a situation and I did it. And I pulled it off and it was awesome. And I want to encourage you to reflect on and find as many of those times as possible, because that will help give you that feeling of belief. You know what? Like, this is the same, you know, feeling last time I was facing the situation. And even reflect on, how did you do it? How did you support yourself? How did you speak to yourself? How did you work through perhaps the doubt that was present at the time to be able to achieve this thing? Because, you know, I always say kind of like rinse and repeat. If you find a strategy that works for you, just use it again. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If there's one thing that worked for you in the past, use it again and again and again to help you move forward. Beautiful. If anyone else has examples, please do share with me. I'd love to know. Okay. So let's look a little at these inner stories. So we all have a constant running dialogue in our minds, like legit, it's always there. It is a running dialogue that is analyzing and interpreting the world around us, that is telling us stories. And what it's primarily doing most of the time is it's making meaning out of things. So it's taking what it sees and it's creating a meaning around it. And more often than not, it making it mean something about you. That's very often the case. Let me just check my lighting here. I just want to make sure that when I'm bringing this screen up, it's not affecting my lighting too much. You know what I'm like about my lighting. I'm just going to move that to the side. Hold on one secky. So yeah, it's analyzing things around us. It's creating meanings. It's validating things that we believe about ourselves. And, you know, becoming aware of this constant stream of dialogue and your self-talk is super important. So give me a little insight now. I mean, I'd love actually to hear from all of you. What are you aware of at the moment is some of your self-talk or an inner story, a story you're telling yourself, something that little voice in your head is constantly saying to you that has been holding you back up until this point, or which you can see is going to hold you back from everything you want to create in this mastermind and beyond. I'd actually love to know what's like one of the key inner stories for you, the key things that that little voice tells you. You know, and something I find so interesting is it's not necessarily the events and circumstances of our life that, you know, determine how we're feeling within ourselves on a daily basis and what we think we can and can't do. It's what we're telling ourselves about it and what we're making it mean. So we really want to get in charge of that, back in charge of that. Well, let me just have a look where I'm up to here. All right. Beautiful Eleanor, I tell myself that no one wants to hear my story. I don't really matter. Wow. And let me ask you this. When you tell yourself that story, what impact does it have on you? How does it make you feel? And how does it impact your energy and the actions that you take? You know, how does it, it's important that we get honest, like what impact is this story having on me? And let me go into now, because this is what I want to talk about as well in this class is, hang on, let me just move this curtain, give me one sec, just trying to get a little bit more light coming in here. Okay, Eleanor says, thank you for your beautiful share, Eleanor, I appreciate it. She says, it hurts. And it makes me feel small, so small. I close up and get very quiet and shy, and I feel strongly not to share. Eleanor, I'm getting a really strong sense as we're talking about this that this is related to your inner child. And we're doing inner child work in this class today. So like I said, there's a lot I'm cramming into this class, but it's all actually linked. Because this key fundamental story that you feel has been programmed in to you through key life experiences when you were younger. And so sometimes when we're wanting to break down and work through these stories, we really need to ask ourselves, where did I learn this? Where did I pick this up? Who taught this to me? What key experience in my life caused me to form this belief system? And it's really useful to get insight on that. Because when it's so interesting, Eleanor, when I'm hearing this, like no one wants to hear my story, I don't really matter. I just get this image of this little girl. I feel like this has come from something related to your childhood. You know, this is often an inner child that doesn't feel heard and acknowledged for her feelings, her thoughts, for who she truly is. And so as a result, she shuts down and holds everything in. Yeah, Eleanor, very true. So let me just, I can see other people sharing, but let me just go into Eleanor's example still here. So what we need to do is recognize, okay, at some point there was a child that had an experience. Perhaps she was wanting to share herself. Perhaps there was something going on for her and people were too busy, or people told her she was too emotional or too sensitive or too needy, or no one had time to attend to her, or, you know, that aspect of her wasn't validated and she was told she needed to be different. I want you to actually think about and really find, like, what was going on? How old were you? What was going on at the time where this belief system about yourself was starting to be formed? Because what happens is, as a child, we make an inner decision. We experience something in our life and we make an inner decision. We say to ourselves, it's not safe for me to be this way. It's not safe for me to share this part of myself. No one will hear me or acknowledge me anyway. It's best for me just to shut this down. So there's a little part of you that made a core decision about herself, about what keeps her safe in the world, and about what would get her love. Who did you decide you needed to be instead in order to get perhaps the love, attention, acceptance, validation that you needed? And so what we do when we identify here, and actually let's keep talking to Eleanor's example and then we'll go into everyone else's. If you were to think about this little child, so this little child, imagine her at this age saying, no one wants to hear my story. I don't really matter. And so you notice this inner child grows small and close up and become quiet. I want you to think about and even ask that child, what is she most needing? So there's a need here for her at the moment that hasn't been met. There was something she was wanting that didn't come. And we can't go back and change the past, but we can do inner child healing work where we can reconnect with that part of ourselves and give her the love and the validation and the acknowledgement and the attention, whatever it is that she's most needing. But there's something she's needing that hasn't been given. And when she doesn't get that, she shuts down. And she, that little child within you, is still driving you now. She's the one that's getting activated every time you're trying to move forward. And she's saying, no. You know, we had this experience and it wasn't safe. Don't do that again. You might lose love. People won't like it. Is this resonating? Let me know. So we can do it through a little visualization. We can reconnect with that part of ourselves. I often bring her on. Eleanor's saying, yes. I'm so glad. You know, I bring to mind, I take you through this in the workbook too, everyone. I bring to mind that little image of myself at that age. I can see your inner child, Eleanor. I can see her. She's real clear. She's really wanting some attention. She's really cute. We bring her in and, you know, put her on your lap or sit down with her. Make sure you're really down on her level. You can look in her eyes. You can really connect with her and see her. And first of all, spend some time just noticing how she's feeling. What's going on for her in this moment or in this memory? Feel her pain. Notice what caused her to feel that way. And then ask her and connect with her and really come to her like almost as the mother or the parent that she didn't get to have at that time. You know, the parent that didn't show up the way that she wanted. You now can come and be that for her and ask her, what do you need? What can I do to help you, to make you feel better? Do you need a cuddle? Do you need me to hear you? You know, sweetheart, tell me, what are you feeling? I'm here and I'm ready to listen. I want to acknowledge you. I'm just trying to get my lighting a little bit right. I'm moving around a little bit. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your story. Tell me. So you can identify what the key thing is that she's needing and you can spend time giving that to her. So an example for me was my mom would withdraw her attention from me when I would shine bright and play and perform. So I was a real performer as a child. I was always putting on shows and singing and dancing and want to be on the video camera. And I've spoken to my mum about this a lot now. My mum was actually jealous of me because I got a lot of attention from my dad, and she felt like my dad loved her, loved me more than her. So my mum held a lot of resentment and jealousy towards me. So whenever I would shine bright and want to attract attention, she would do the opposite and she would ignore me, which is incredibly painful for a child to have love withdrawn. And that really scarred me. And I really began to feel like it's not safe to shine bright and be seen. When I do that, people take their love away from me. It's best for me to be quiet and toned down and responsible and the good girl and just do what everyone else wants you to do. So the way that I've worked with my inner child is I've let her perform for me. I imagine her being in her light and shining bright, and I sit there with her and I watch her and I celebrate her and I acknowledge her, and I'm like, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so talented, you're so amazing. And I watch her light up as she gets the love and validation and acknowledgement that she has been craving for so long. So we have the ability to do that for ourselves. And actually, you know, what did she most need to hear? What does she most need to know about herself? And this is where you can see that what are the belief systems you're going to need to have to be able to overcome this. Let me just move a little closer to the window. So, you know, my inner child needs to know that it's safe for her to be seen. That what she wants to share and show is beautiful and valuable. And so I have to keep telling herself that, and I have to keep telling myself that now as the adult that I am, every time this wound gets triggered in me when I want to be seen. Okay, I hope that's resonating, Eleanor. I hope that's a really helping other people as well. All right, Shirley. I often think my story is boring as it's not as fairy tale. As it's not a fairy tale, it has impacted many lives and caused disappointment to those I love. Okay, so there's a feeling that your story doesn't have this sort of positive fairy tale energy to it. It's actually got a lot of pain and disappointment, and it's had a lot of negative repercussions. Okay, Shirley, let me ask you, what impact does this have on you? When you tell yourself that story, how does it leave you feeling? And as a result, what happens to who you're being and the actions you are taking? Let's have a look at, because what I'm hearing here, Shirley, is shame. It's guilt and shame. There's something around you making yourself wrong, perhaps. Let me know if that's resonating. I'm feeling like a negative energy towards yourself almost. Yeah, guilt. Shirley's saying guilt. So I remember hearing this really incredible thing by Brené Brown and the difference between guilt and shame. This is so interesting. So it's all about wrongness. When we feel guilt or shame, it's all about a sense of wrongness, making ourselves wrong in some way. And guilt is I've done something wrong, and shame is there's something wrong with me. So shame is deeper because shame is a real internalization, like the wrongness becomes part of my identity, versus the guilt is about something I've done, an action I've taken, a way that I was. But there's still wrongness there. So let me ask you, Shirley, why are you still making yourself wrong? Because you are in some way. There's still judgment on yourself. Can you see that there's some judgment and making yourself wrong in some ways? Because that's creating this negative energy around the journey that you've walked. So this to me feels less like an inner child thing, and this feels like more recent. Yeah. Okay. So look, there's a couple of things we can do here. First of all, there needs to be some forgiveness work. There's a couple of things. And I'll talk you through it in a minute. So there's forgiveness work needed, forgiveness of yourself. There's compassion. And compassion is when we look at a version of ourselves from the past and we crack our heart open. Rather than closing our heart and holding judgment against it, we open our heart when we understand that version of myself was doing the best that she could in that moment with all she had and with what she knew. Now, you might look back on that version of yourself and say, that was wrong. I should have done that differently, handled that differently. But in the time, in the moment, at the time, the actions you took, the choices you made, everything felt like the right thing at the time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done them. And they were the best you knew how to do at the time with the information and the resources you had. You know, we need compassion for ourselves, that you were probably feeling a lot of emotion. This was probably really hard for you. So actually what I would do is I would bring in that version of yourself, whether it's 6 months ago, year ago, 2 years ago, however old you were when you were going through this. And I want you to sit in meditation with that age version of yourself. Sit opposite that version of yourself. And I want you to talk to her, and I want you to really open your heart and understand and have compassion for what she was working through and going through at the time, how hard it was for her, to really be compassionate to why she was making the choices she was making, and actually maybe to do a little bit of a forgiveness conversation and to say out loud, you know, in your mind's eye, what you're forgiving her for. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to reshuffle a little bit here because I've lost a little bit of my light, but I think it looks fine. It's just me getting funny about lighting. It's just looking a little bit dark behind me. Okay. So there's the forgiveness work. There's the compassion work. There's connecting with that past version of yourself. There was another piece I wanted to mention here. What was it? There's also, so when we make ourselves wrong and we feel negative about something, we're only focusing on sort of the negatives about it. But if you actually can also balance out your perspective by looking at, so we're only looking at why this was maybe the wrong thing to do or a bad thing to do. I actually want you to journal about, why was this the right thing to do, Shirley? Why was this the right thing to do? Why was this actually the best thing for everyone? Long term. Why, I want you to sort of shift your perspective to look at, you know, and even what were the positives that came out of this? What were the learnings that came out of this? What was the wisdom that came out of this? What was the growth that came out of this? To shift your perspective around it. And then the final piece is, when it comes to relationships with other people, a lot of these things are soul contracts. And a lot of the times we are playing roles for other people to have certain experiences and to have the experiences they need to have. And I need you to trust that even if other people were impacted, perhaps in a negative way, they were hurt, that there was something about this experience they needed to have as well as part of their growth and their journey. Now, when we are empathic people, we like to make everyone else happy. We hate to do things that negatively impact others. And we want to try to change our behavior to ensure we keep everyone else happy. But we have to trust that if we do something that impacts someone in a certain way, that that was part of their destiny as well. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come into this relationship with you. There was something that was meant to unfold, and even if it's painful in the moment, it's something that, they're meant to experience to help them grow and transform in their journey as well. And we have to trust that. Beautiful, Shirley. So look, from a distance, if I've ever hurt someone, sometimes from a distance, I'll bring them into my meditation as well, and I'll sit with them, and I'll sit with their higher self or their soul, and I will sit in meditation and send them love, and I'll apologize to them, and I'll pray for them. You can pray for them and send them love and wish them happiness. But you just really have to trust, and this is what you did. I know you did what was the most self-honoring thing at the time. And sometimes we feel guilt for putting ourselves first, don't we? But I know that what you did was incredibly courageous and self-honoring. And I have no doubt that this is what you're here to teach other women to do as well. And so if you can really see how valuable and powerful this experience was for you, it no longer is a negative thing. It's something that actually showed so much about you as a person, really allowed you to grow and evolve, and now forms the foundation, I think, of what you're here to teach other people. I hope that's been supportive, Shirley. Thank you for your shares, everyone. It's really beautiful when you share because it just gives me a chance to talk to specifics and give you some coaching stuff. Beautiful, Shirley, I'm glad. All right, Jen, I tell myself that I need to be a master of the subject first so I don't make a mistake. And that makes it easier to stay small and not be seen. Yeah, this is a big one. I think a lot of people feel this. What I would do is if you feel like there's things you want to talk about or teach about, that perhaps there's this sort of story of like, am I the master? Or do I know enough? Like what qualifies me or who am I to come out and say this thing? You know, I think there's two different ways we can share our messages. Sometimes we can come out like something is a fact and we can, you know, be saying this is the truth and this is a fact. Other times it can just be like, here's my perspective. Here's my insight on it. Based on the experiences I've had, here's my view. Here's my feeling. Here's what I've learned. It's a little bit more of that, for some reason I'm hearing the word like humble way of teaching, where we don't necessarily have to be the expert at all. In fact, the less of a master and expert you are, the more real and relatable you are. You can just teach from the rawness of your own life experience, of your own insights that you've gained. You know, and definitely studying things and having mastery on certain topics and having expertise is really valuable and important and can really help us. But if, say, you're wanting to facilitate a women's circle, a workshop, a yoga class, if you're wanting to write posts on Instagram or on a blog, if you can just speak from the rawness of your own insights and wisdom around that topic based on the journey that you've walked, that's just you sharing yourself. And that allows people just to hear and listen in and take from it what works for them. They're not, you know, necessarily looking to you as the expert on that topic. They're looking to you as a relatable woman who understands and who's perhaps imperfect in a lot of ways. You know, I often, particularly when I teach about relationships, I often say, you know, I'm still a real work in progress around this. Like this is not my, I'm not perfect at this stuff, but I can teach from the plate, from the journey I've walked so far. And I can teach from what I know so far about what I've experienced. Does that make sense, Jen? But you're right. It does. That is a way we justify not being seen and staying small, 100%. So thank you for your honesty around that. Yeah, beautiful. Jen's saying that makes sense. I'm really glad. Thank you for your shares, everyone. They've been really beautiful. So I jumped ahead a little bit, but let me just go back to the workbook and sort of what I've already just taken you through it a little bit through your beautiful examples. Let's see here. I'll come into alignment in a minute. But what I ask you here in the workbook, and I do want you to have the courage to unpack this a little bit where possible, is, you know, who did you learn throughout your life that you needed to be? Because, you know, as I've been saying at the start, there's actually going to need to be a real identity shift to create a different reality. And I know a lot of you are bumping up against this. I've heard it in your comments, creating a new sense of self, a new perception of yourself, a new identity. And so it's interesting just to look at, you know, what are some of the key messages I picked up throughout my life about who I needed to be and how did they shape who I became? Because this, you know, this identity has a whole set of belief systems around it, a whole set of self-talk, a whole series of actions that you take. And like I said, it has guided you to this point now. Maybe, you know, I need to be responsible. I need to be a people pleaser. I need to have a secure job. I need to do, you know, what's expected of me from my parents. I need to provide for others. I need to be responsible. I need to just be quiet and fit in, whatever it is, this whole identity. And so it's just interesting and useful. You know, over the years, I've done this work a lot to really unpack what I learned from both of my parents and how that shaped who I became. You know, if any of you, I think I shared a bit about this in my purpose training, that up until the age of about 27, my whole way of living was ruled by what I learned off my parents. I didn't know who I was, and I wasn't living from my heart. I wasn't being guided by myself. I was being guided by all of this subconscious programming about who I thought I needed to be. And so around 27, 28, I went through this massive pivot of having to unravel and challenge this whole identity I'd built based on who everyone in my life wanted me to be. Is my lighting looking okay, loves? Based on, you know, my dad wanted me to do a certain career and to have a secure job, and my mum, you know, programmed into me, be quiet, be responsible, be a good girl, make everyone else happy, don't ask for too much. That was how I lived up until about 28. And it wasn't until I worked with a life coach and she began asking me questions like, Connie, what are you passionate about? What do you love? What do you love to do with your spare time? What's your vision for your future? Like, what are your unique gifts and talents? That I was like, oh my gosh, there's this whole other version of myself that I want to be, that actually completely goes against who I've learnt I needed to be my whole life. I have to completely recreate myself now to create this new possibility for my life. So it is just useful just to unpack, you know, the things we learned about the type of career we should have, you know, whether we should follow our heart. I know for me, both my parents were role models of giving up on your dreams. I didn't really have anyone, sort of my dad was, but I didn't really have any examples of people out there, you know, being bold and courageous and taking risks and going after their dreams. My mum gave up on her dreams to be a mum. She had three children to take care of, so she gave up on her career. Sorry, that's really charged language. She didn't give up. She didn't work in order to be a mum, and my dad provided for us. And my dad, actually, I heard this story at one point. My dad wanted to be a chef, and he signed up for chef school when he was young, and he walked to the front door of the training to do his chef training, and then he chickened out and he left. So he paid for the training, he signed up, he got to the front door, and fear took him over and he left and he gave up on his dream. And my dad then went on to still run his own business, you know, so he was still out there being an example of working for yourself. But, you know, it just, I guess that shaped me a little bit, but a lot of us didn't have those role models. And so what my dad kind of did, he projected onto me his feeling of needing a secure job. And I realized that for my dad to see me in a secure job, a job with a consistent paycheck and a job that made sense, you know, be a teacher or be a this or that, would make him feel like he was a good dad. And it took him a long time to accept that I wasn't going to fit into that and I was going to be something different. So I want you to spend some time on just reflecting. If you want to, if you feel like there are things from your past and old identities holding you back, go through that. If you don't feel like that's an issue for you, you might need to unpack that in the workbook. And then I take you through this inner child work where I want you to get a photo of yourself or at least bring an image to mind of yourself as a little child. And before, I want you to see if you can go to a young enough age where you can find and connect with and feel what your essence was, your true essence was before you began to learn who you needed to be. I always think of myself like really young, like 3 or 4, before I started picking up all this programming around who I thought I needed to be. And actually, I want to hear from you in the comments. What are some words to describe the essence of your inner child, of who you truly are, before she began to be molded into who she needed to be? You know, for me, definitely the word playful, light, bright, really joyful. Like I was a really happy kid. Very creative. I love to make things and draw, and I love to perform as well. And I was actually, like, this is an interesting thing to say, but I was actually pretty selfish as a kid. And most of us as kids are. Like, I was real selfish. I knew what made me happy. I knew what I loved. I wanted all the attention. I was just like, yeah, that's just how I am. That's how things should be. You know, and then that changed a lot. My little sister got sick, and then I felt like I sort of became invisible. Beautiful. Eleanor's saying her inner child energy is giddy. Ooh, how nice is that? Giddy, light, joyous, brave. Ah, so beautiful. Jen, happy, creative, big heart. Ah, that part of you is still inside of you. That part of you is your true essence. That part of you is who you really are. All we've got is just layers of programming on top of it. And this whole journey over the next 5 months is peeling back the layers. So you can come back to that part of you and let her guide your whole life now. Imagine those qualities. Imagine embodying them now and having them lead your life and having your whole life infused with those qualities. Like, how different would things be, right? That part of you is still in there. So I want you to connect with her, get to know her again. And maybe actually, you know, something I've done a lot is to allow my inner child to lead me. So often we think we need to lead the inner child, but if you really connect with her, so often she'll want to lead you. She'll, you know, you can ask her, sweetheart, tell me now, like as an adult, how can I start to bring more of your energy into my life? How would you like to express your creativity? Show me how I can access more joy. Show me what will help me feel lighter. Show me what will make me happy. Do you want to go back to doing some of those kids things that you loved as a kid, whether it's painting or drawing or dancing or using your imagination or exploring different places or making things with your hands? You can actually tap back into that energy when you think back to what your inner child loved to experience and do. But thank you for sharing this. So, so beautiful. Your inner child, more than anything, needs your love, your validation, your acceptance, your acknowledgement. I really want you to think about what was missing for you as a kid that you really, really needed. That if you had it, these parts of you would still be really present for you. What did you need to know about yourself? How did you need to be nurtured and loved and acknowledged and celebrated? It's up to us now to reparent ourselves, to remother ourselves, and to nurture that part of ourselves within us to feel safe to be expressed once again. What do you most want? And, you know, when you really connect with this child and you see how innocent and pure and beautiful and amazing they are, what do you most want them to know and believe about themselves? Tell them, make sure you spend some time telling them what is special about them. What makes them beautiful, smart, talented? Why are they lovable? What are their gifts? What do they have to offer the world? Why are they deserving of everything they want? You know, when we work with this kind of self-love, self-support, self-belief stuff, sometimes we find it much easier to do it when we connect with our inner child versus connecting with ourselves as an adult. Most of us are pretty hard on ourselves as adults. But we find it's not as easy to be hard on ourselves when you're working with that innocent, pure little child. That energy typically cracks our heart open. Now imagine that little child grows up knowing all of this about themselves. Imagine you could go back and rewrite the whole way your life unfolded. And this little child grew up knowing that they were whole, worthy, and complete, and they grew up to be the highest and brightest and most authentic versions of themselves. If that had happened, what kind of life would they have manifested for themselves? What would be different about what she had manifested? Tell me. If you'd grown up having all these aspects of you fully nurtured and seen and loved, what would be different about what you'd now manifested in your life? Where you would be? What would you believe about yourself and your value and your worth and your purpose? What energies would you be radiating? What qualities would you embody? I know for me, I would just be shining so, so, so bright. If I'd never learned that it wasn't okay for these parts of me to be seen, I literally feel like I would probably be in Hollywood. I was such a bright little performer. I was so ready to just be seen in such big ways until I really learned all this stuff about myself. And so I know that the continual nurturing of this part of myself is the key to me moving forward and feeling safe to go bigger. All right, so I take you through a whole exercise around that. At the end of the workbook, let me actually just see. No, sorry, the final thing, I'm going to go a little bit over time. The final thing I haven't talked about here is alignment. This is a big class. I'm aware of it, my loves. Just see how you go with it. Hopefully you can work through it all in 2 weeks, but you can always revisit it. The alignment piece that I want to talk about here is, so when you connect with what I was just taking you through, this kind of vision and version of yourself, your highest, brightest, authentic self, you can actually be doing energy alignment work on a daily basis to connect with and stay anchored into that part of yourself. And this is something that I've done a lot when, and I think I teach a whole class on energy alignment later on, so I won't go into too much about it now. But I want you to see this version of yourself as your highest self, the self that you are without any limitations, without any barriers, without any fear, without any restrictions. And let's just do this for a little minute. Let's just close your eyes. I just want you to close your eyes with me. And I want you to bring to mind an image of yourself now, but embodying the energy and qualities of your highest, brightest self, still embodying these beautiful qualities of the essence of your inner child, with this beautiful mindset that loves you and supports you and believes in you, feeling whole, feeling worthy, feeling complete, feeling deserving. Just play in your imagination around what that would feel like. And what do you notice happen to your body? I immediately notice myself smile. My cheeks tingle a little bit. My shoulders drop back. My heart opens. And I always, whenever I do this, I just imagine this glowing light coming off me. This is when you start to tap into actually what your true potential is. When you peel away and remove any limitation, limiting belief, fear, old story, doubt, unworthiness, when you literally peel all that away, there is this radiant energy that remains. This is who you really are. This is your true potential. This is what you're truly capable of. This is the energy you're destined to embody every day, to live from, to create your life from. Anchored in your power, heart open, believing in yourself, loving yourself. Being guided from within. What do you notice? What type of reality are you manifesting around you? Oh my God, I'm getting tingles. I'm wondering if you're feeling it. I literally am tingling. It's so magical. It makes me want to cry. It's so limitless. We are so limitless. So something that I have been guided to do on a daily basis when I'm working on expansion is to connect with this energy every day and to let her guide my life. To ask her, what step should I take today? What message should I share? What should I create? What do I need to do? Now, this is the alignment piece, because when we have our desire, but we're down here feeling limiting beliefs and fear and anxiety, we're out of alignment with what we want. When we shift our energy state and embody a different energy and tap into that beautiful potential, We are then in alignment with our desire. And then there's this inspired action that comes through, these ideas that come through that help us move forward. Were you able to feel that love? So let me know. Were you able to connect with that version of yourself, and what did it feel like? All right. So my final little piece here at the end is about reprogramming. I take you through a little exercise there that you can use. The homework ideas here. Jen, beautiful. Yes, she feels so powerful. Beautiful. Yep, Eleanor says too, I was able to connect and it was powerful as well. Beautiful. Let this woman guide you as often as possible. When we do that exercise, stop, witness, choose again. Before you choose again, come into her energy and let her guide now. The thoughts that you're going to choose, the steps you're going to take, how you're going to move forward. Ask her for her perspective. So when you hear the old perspective of you're not good enough, you can't do it, you don't know enough, it's not safe for you to be seen, whatever, stop and find her energy and ask, what is she telling me? She is telling me, of course you're worthy. Keep going. Follow your heart. Share yourself. You're on the right path. You're doing the right thing. Let her guide you. So, I encourage you to do some inner child connection work. I'm just looking at the homework here to be working on consciously choosing some new affirmations and belief systems, to be connecting in with your true essence and perhaps doing some inner child exploration. You know, what does she love? Singing, being creative, writing, playing in nature, gardening, going on an adventure, cooking, dancing, painting. Like really, let's tap back into her energy, because we want her to be guiding you. We want to help heal any wounds she has and then have her guide you moving forward. And then you can work through, I've got here number 7 is this reprogramming exercise that you can be using to shift your mindset at different times when unsupportive things are coming up. All right, love. So this is a big class. Give me some final words here. How are you feeling? How did you find this class? What's been your biggest takeaway? Let me know. There's a lot to work through here, but I see this particular class as a real foundational one for you to revisit over and over and over. The principles here are things that will continue to support you moving forward at various points when you're bumping up against little blocks. So you've got 2 weeks to work through that. We've got our group coaching call coming up in 2 weeks too. So I will confirm the date of that with you very soon. And then that will be a chance for you to also bring anything to those sessions with me that you need further support with. All right, loves, I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to jump off. How are you feeling? Okay, Jen, my biggest takeaway was tapping into that power. That alignment really changed my perspective. And also working with my inner child, I forgot how bright she used to be. Beautiful. Thank you, Jen. Eleanor, I'm feeling very heavy with a lot of inner work I need to do, but I'm inspired and motivated to get my grown-up inner child to start talking to me. Yeah, look, the heaviness, sometimes this stuff can feel confronting and it can feel like, oh gosh, there's so much for me to work through. If it's feeling too heavy and too overwhelming, just do a little bit at a time. You may not want to dive in, you know, to the whole workbook. You may just like to tackle a little bit. You might just want to start with one of the key inner stories. You might just want to start with some inner child work. Just if at any point it feels too much, just take some stuff off your plate and really simplify it and just begin with maybe one key point. Maybe just playing with your inner child a little bit and keeping it light. But I think the heaviness comes often from when we have a story around it, when we say, oh, this is so big and I'm so wounded and I've got so much to do. That can make it heavy. Versus just really trusting and instead saying, you know what? I'm becoming aware of this now because I'm ready to change it. This is all coming into my awareness because I have everything I need to work through it. I'm ready. I'm strong. I've got the support I need. I've come to this point now and it's all coming up to the surface because I've got all the skills and strength I need to work through it. This is perfect. It's perfect. All right, my loves, thank you so much for your beautiful shares. I've really loved getting to talk with you and interact with you through the session. I will do my best to get this recording uploaded, and I'll post it in the Facebook group as soon as it's ready, and it'll be on the members site as well. Thank you, Jen. I really loved this class and I've loved sharing it with you. Thank you, Eleanor. Beautiful. I will talk to you all soon. So you can get the workbook up on the masterclasses page of the website, and keep coming into our Facebook group and sharing your experiences. I'll touch base with you in a few days and see how you're all going with this class. Sending you so much love. I'm so proud of you all for being here. Just the fact that you're here is amazing. Yeah, that's an achievement in itself. I'm so proud of you because so many people don't look at this stuff. They avoid it. But I know you're looking at it because you're ready. So well done. All right, loves, I'm going to log off. I will talk to you all again soon. Bye.